The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. Simple little thought for you here this morning. Very simple little thought. And it comes to you from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. That I'm sure you've all heard and prayed many times before. Prayer of St. Francis that goes, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is injury, let me bring pardon." Francis of Assisi, probably the best loved saint in the history of the church, and he might be best known for that prayer. All right, so now if you haven't prayed that prayer in a while, take a look at it, and when you do, focus especially on the second part of the prayer, because that's the part where the deepest wisdom is found. St. Francis prays, "Divine Master, grant that I might not so much try to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, because it is in giving that we receive." That line, "in giving that we receive," that's my whole message for you here this week. That's my whole message. That's the summation of the message of the gospel. That's the summation of the message of the first reading. It's the science of the saints. And I'm convinced that it's what God wants all of us to go home and pray about. Now, everybody here coming to church here this morning comes for a million different reasons. There's as many different reasons why you're here as there are people here this morning. Some people come out of a sense of obligation. Some people come because it's just a good habit. Some people come because they figured this is a really important thing. They wanted to be part of their life. And some people come here kicking and screaming because their parents forced them to, right? The entire way. But one thing's for sure. Everybody here got one thing in common. Everybody here comes before the Lord poor and needy. A beggar in God's presence. There's a million different petitions out here in the pews. And you're bringing them all into God's presence. All of them. Prayer's a petition. Does God hear those prayers? Yes. Does God answer those prayers? Yes. But not necessarily in the way you might expect. Bring your prayers and petition to God by all means. It's just, don't be surprised if God answers your prayer of petition by asking you to give something. It might be something material, might be something spiritual, might be your little way of seeing the world, and God asks you to give it away, right? Let it go. Don't be surprised if God asks you to give, because it's in giving that we receive. Now, that is the summation of that mysterious first reading that we heard from the first book of Kings, story of Elijah and a poor widow of Zarephath in Israel in a time of famine. Everybody's needy. Elijah doesn't have anything to eat. Poor widow's down to her last handful of flour and handful of sticks. And she says, as soon as I make this last loaf of bread, me and my children, we're going to go die. And Elijah says back to her, that's nice, but before you do that, why don't you go bake me a cake? Very strange reading, okay? Let's try to understand first by knowing some background. A little bit of background about widows. You might already know this, but in the Old Testament, nobody was more poor and destitute than a widow. Widow had no property rights. Widow had no inheritance rights. And if she had no adult children, especially male adult children, she was destitute. She was a beggar, right? So here's a story of a widow in our first reading. A widow in time of famine. Has she been saying prayers to God? Yes. What's she been praying to God? She'd been saying, Lord, come and help me. Does God hear her prayers? Yes. Does God answer her prayers? Yes, he does, but he doesn't answer her prayers in the way she expects. God answers her prayer by sending her the prophet Elijah, who shows up to her hat in hand, not what she was counting on. A little bit of background on the prophet Elijah from the first reading. Before the first reading began, prophet Elijah has been on the run for his life for a year, running from Queen Jezebel, queen of Israel, who's got a vendetta on his head, wants him dead. You might not know the story of Queen Jezebel, but you probably know enough to know that she's one of the great villains of the Old Testament, right? Wicked Witch of the West. She wants Elijah dead. Why? What's his crime? He was preaching the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was his crime. In direct opposition to official Jezebel policy to promote Baal, the pagan fertility god. She wants him dead. For the last year, Elijah has been living on the run, ducking in the shadows, living in the caves. Has Elijah been praying to God? Yes. What's he been saying? He's probably been saying, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. He's been praying, God, come and help me. Does God hear Elijah's prayer? Yes. Does God answer Elijah's prayer? Yes, but not in the way he expects. See, Elijah's got to let go of something. He's got to be ready to give. He's got to be ready to give up his way of understanding everything that God does. So God says to Elijah, here's the answer to your prayer. Go to the land of Sidon. There you will find a poor widow of Zarephath. She's the one I've assigned to help you. A message which makes no sense at all. It would be like you being in a time of financial hardship, and the answer to your prayer comes, go down to the corner of South Point Boulevard and Route 1. There you'll find a blind homeless beggar sitting on the corner. He's just what you've been waiting for. Makes no sense, but Elijah has to give, right? He has to let go of his way of understanding things. And the poor widow has to give. She has to let go of her last cup full of flour because she is convinced that God himself is asking this of her. And as soon as both of them give, what happens? Their prayers are answered. The famine ends, the rains fall, the crops are abundant, everybody has enough of everything, and even Queen Jezebel is deposed, overthrown by her own people. Message of the first reading? It's in giving that you receive, with an exclamation point. Same message shows up in the gospel. Famous story of the widow's mite. We've all heard it many times before. You know what I got for you here this morning? A little bit of show and tell. A little bit of show and tell, because this in my hand is a widow's mite. I know it's too small for all of you to see, but I brought it here because I thought you'd think it was cool. Okay? This is an ancient Roman coin. Smallest coin in the Roman Empire. It was known as a lepton. Now, if you know your chemistry, you might remember that a lepton is the name of a subatomic particle. So here's a coin so small, they named a subatomic particle after it. And this poor woman in the gospel, she's down to her last two leptons. And what does she do with it? She puts it in the collection basket. Jesus watches the entire thing and praises her for what she did. Now put yourself back there in that time. You're watching this woman put her last two coins in the collection basket. Do you think you'd praise her for doing that? Because I sure as heck know that I wouldn't. I'd probably say something to her like, stop, don't. You need that, right? Forget about the collection. We'll take up a collection for you. That's what I'd say. I don't know. You'd probably say something like that too. Something very reasonable and prudent. Right? But here's the wisdom. The real God, who is actually there on the scene, doesn't say that. He praises her for what she did. Why? Because Jesus knows something we don't, a lesson it takes our entire lifetimes to learn. It is in giving that you receive. And this is more than just giving. This is more than just generosity on her point. This is totality. This is magnanimity. She gives right to the point of having nothing left to give. That's what God is like. I don't know what happened to that woman that day. But I can tell you this. God was not outdone in generosity. Whatever happened to her, she was well taken care of. She probably went home that evening and won the ancient Roman lottery or something like that. Because God does stuff like that. It's the science of the saints. Can I tell you a little story just for fun on this line? Just for fun. I was at a conference once. You know, one of these training conferences that you have to go to. And there at the conference was a priest from Canada, a pastor of a parish in Winnipeg, Manitoba, who told me the story of a woman in his parish who won the Canadian lottery, $1.8 million. Comes to the priest, hands him a check, $5,000. The priest takes the check, hands it back to the woman. Says to her, I can't accept this. Woman says, why not? Priest says, because if I accepted this, I would be guilty of the spiritual malpractice of leaving you with the impression that you have been generous. This is not generosity. This is a token. Oh boy, she was mad. Woman walked away in a huff, 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 huff. She even called the bishop. Bishop called the priest. Priest stood his ground, stuck to his guns. 2 weeks later, woman comes back. She says, Father, I've been thinking about what you said, and I want to tithe. I want to give a tenth of what I've given. $90,000 for the care and upkeep of your parish, $90,000 for the homeless shelter that's in the parish bounds. You know what happened to that lady? 6 months later, she won the lottery again. God does stuff like that. Now, don't tell the theological faculty of Catholic University because they'll have a meltdown. But God does stuff like that. I'm telling you, it's in giving that you receive. And one of the things to remember is the converse is also true. It's in hoarding that you lose. You know, you feel like you don't have enough time, you feel like you don't have enough money, you want to hang on to it and keep it for you. I'm telling you something, those who are miserly with their time and money suffer more anxiety than those who have learned the secret of generosity. I had a friend once, he said, my life's goal is to make so much money that I can buy a yacht and circumnavigate the globe. That's my life's goal. I told him, stop, don't. He goes, why not? I said, because that can never make you happy. There's no giving in that. It's impossible for that to make you happy. It's in giving. You want to receive, you want to know what it means to feel joy, try giving joy to somebody else. Tell me what happens to you. You want to have peace? You want to have meaning? Try building up somebody else's life to give peace and meaning to them and discover what you find. Of course, the greatest example of this is Jesus on the cross, isn't it? Who gave right down to this last drop of blood, showing us that true greatness is in charity. True greatness, ladies and gentlemen, is in what we give. So it's just a little tiny thought for you here for the day. Be sure to come to Mass. Be sure to come to Mass with all of your prayers, all of your petitions. Go ahead and make them known to God. It's just that when you do, don't be surprised that God answers your prayer by asking you to give. Because it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life.